Please stand for 5 seconds of silence.
You're listening to The Cinemaniacs, episode number 4, for February 24th, 2008. There's a Welcome to the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff. And to my right is Rachel. Our first Cinemini on the show.
Yay! Welcome to the Cineminis.
Woo!
Thank you for listening. Today we're going to be reviewing the Academy Awards. We just finished watching not too long ago. I forget what else was there.
What can you say after that, really? I think that says it all right
to
there.
To finish up our Academy Awards coverage, we're going to be reviewing the Academy Awards telecast we just saw. In full, and that'll be it for this week, actually. But it should be a great show. With that, Jeff, let's get right into it.
Okie dokie.
And now, here's your host for the 80th Annual Academy Awards, John Stewart.
First off, this year we had John Stewart back as the host.
Once again, I think he did a very serviceable job considering his writer team only had a really short time to put this thing together. It was very clip heavy, which kind of gives, you know, kind of lends to the fact that they only had a little bit of time to really pull it together, but it had some very funny moments to me.
I think you did a great job. The writers, they should have been working on stuff while they were on strike, even though they weren't getting paid, but they could have got their best stuff together.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. But I did think he was funny. I welcome him back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they started off the show, and they didn't do Best Supporting Actor and Actress, which they normally do first. They went right into costume design.
Yeah, getting the big ones out of the way.
All right.
Yes.
And that wasn't until about 20 minutes into the show that they did that. They had the monologue, and then they had the montage startup. The costume design was won by Elizabeth, the Golden Age, which we reviewed, I believe, on last week's show, and well-deserved.
Absolutely.
Then they had the best animated, which, of course, went to Ratatouille. Yeah, again, well deserved.
Didn't see any of them, and I'm like the big 3D animation guy, so that really doesn't speak well for me.
You haven't even seen Ratatouille?
Nope.
Did you see Cars?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yeah.
And did you think Ratatouille should get Best Animated Feature?
Yeah.
Of course, you haven't seen Persepolis yet, the other nominee, as well as Surf's Up.
Did you see Surf's Up?
Yeah, I saw it.
But Ratatouille was better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They did Best Makeup, which Norbit didn't win.
Yeah, there's a shocker.
Wow.
No, I went to La Vie en Rose, which was totally deserved, because I think I said this before when we reviewed it. I'd seen Marianne Cotillard in A Good Year with Russell Crowe, and she looked nothing like herself in this movie. I had no idea it was her until we saw a behind the scenes, and so after that, I had no problem with them winning for best makeup. They literally transformed that lady.
They did, though I didn't. As we reviewed last week, she perfectly took over that part.
Yes,
Edith Piaf.
She became Edith Piaf.
And then they started singing the songs as they always do. Amy Adams sang a song. I didn't even know Enchanted was really a musical, but was nominated for 3 awards.
Yep. Won none.
Happy Working Song.
Happy Working Song, yeah.
Yeah.
Cute little song.
Now, did she lip sync that, or do you think she sang it for real?
She sang it for real.
Yeah.
Which is good. I want it to be live acts there on the Academy Awards.
Yeah, she sang it for real and solo. I mean, completely alone. Nobody else on the stage working, you know, really with nothing there. That was actually a very impressive performance.
It was. And Amy Adams, a year or two ago when Junebug came out, everybody started talking about her there, and now she's coming into her own.
Yeah.
Then they had Best Visual Effects, which was won by The Golden Compass.
Wow.
Yep.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, I may be coming from a total guy point of view, but, you know, a giant transforming robot truck seems way cooler than a talking polar bear.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And seen the movie, so.
The polar bear talk. They do that in Coke commercials, for Christ's sake.
True enough. They had art direction up after that.
Do you think it's because of Michael Bay? Do you think they just never, ever want to give a Michael Bay movie?
Why they didn't give him the visual effects?
Yeah. They just don't want to give Michael Bay any credit whatsoever.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be. That would very well be.
It's the Michael Bay Oscar. It's the Michael Bay Oscar conspiracy.
So we don't expect to see him nominated for Best Director anytime soon?
No, I wouldn't imagine. I
don't
know.
Best long movie?
What's that?
Best long movie?
Best long movie? Was Transformers a long movie?
Sorta.
Yeah. I kept going and going. So after that, they had art direction, and Sweeney Todd won that. Which Tim Burton is always welcome.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
A Tim Burton film, great art direction, does really well. Right after that, they went into the actor montage.
Yeah, this was a very montage-heavy Oscars.
Which I liked. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it either.
They went through the...
It's kind of neat seeing all the, you know, all the winners over the last 80 years.
Yeah, should have said, after that, they went into the best supporting actor montage.
Right.
And I loved seeing that. You know, and of course, they ended it with Cuba, because... Yep. When Cuba Gooding Jr. won the supporting actor,
Jerry Maguire.
It was fantastic. Oh, yeah. You know, you could see the real excitement there. Either that or he was acting really, really well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But they do show that clip in every single Oscar ceremony, and I never get tired of it. Nope. So then, last year's Best Supporting Actress came out to give out the Best Supporting Actor for this year, as they always do the little flip flop for the sexes.
Thank you.
Jennifer Hudson, see?
Ooh, one score from Cinemini. Give me a little. There we go. Very nice.
And Javier Bardem, not surprisingly, won for No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't win. I mean, I got to tell you, when they showed the clips, even some of the movies that I hadn't seen, you know, Tom Wilkinson, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I was impressed, but I was going to walk out of the room if Javier Bardem didn't win.
Yeah. No surprise there. Well deserved.
Oh,
well
my
deserved.
God, yeah. That's still one of the best villains on screen. He's gonna make that AFI list of best villains one day.
Oh yes.
Yeah. What a great performance.
And then Jon Stewart went into his montage of what they would have done without the writers. The Bad Dreams montage or the binoculars.
The binocular montage, yeah. That was the montage's montage.
Yes. I liked it. I thought it was cute.
Very cute.
Then August Rush had their song, the movie from August Rush.
Yeah, good song.
Good song.
Yep.
Probably came in second before all the Enchanted songs.
Yes.
After.
Yeah. You got, I don't want to give away, but you got the winner, this song, and then all the Enchanted songs.
That's right. Then it went into Best Short Live Action. Now, as far as the short films go, this has always been a pet peeve of mine. I try to see as many Academy Award nominated films before the Academy Awards, and the short films is one category that, unless you live in LA or somewhere where they have a screening at, you're not going to be able to see them. Right. Short of the internet video store, so to speak. Now later on they'll come out with a DVD that has all of them on it, but it's not before the broadcast.
Well, that seems kind of counterproductive.
Right. Or, if you get into the Academy, I guess they'll mail you a copy of that short so you can vote on it. But
so, is that all we got to do?
That's it.
Just get into the Academy and we can see all this stuff?
That's exactly right.
Well, hell, man. We need to make that our mission.
Yeah, the Best Short Live Action and Best Short Film Animated. And for that, it was presented by Jerry Seinfeld playing his B character.
That's another animated movie I didn't see.
Right. Rachel?
I don't really feel bad about
that
either.
It was
okay. Yeah, B movie was just okay.
It's coming out on DVD.
Is it?
March 11th.
Oh, okay. Well, that's coming up in a couple weeks. So then they had the Best Supporting Actress montage, which, again, I love these montages. I love seeing everybody over the years. And then they had the Best Supporting Actress award presented by Alan Arkin, who won for Little Miss Sunshine last year, which is a movie that I love. And, Rachel, when you're old enough, you'll be able to love it as well.
I saw it.
Little Miss Sunshine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's on cable. Once in a while.
It was very good.
What did you think of that movie?
The ending was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ending, I wanted to stand up and cheer myself.
Love the movie. Yeah, absolutely.
So Tilda Swinton won Best Supporting Actress. Huge, huge surprise. Even to her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was more stunned than anybody.
Yeah. And that's great. That's what you want, is surprises.
Yeah.
You know, all this Oscar pooling and everything that goes on beforehand, nobody is almost never a surprise. So that was great for her. Then they went into Best Screenplay Adapted, which is a screenplay that was originally maybe a book or something else mm-hmm. that they made into a movie.
Right.
And No Country for Old Men won that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a book.
That was a book.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
so and they made it into a movie.
Made
in
it
fact,
into a fantastic movie.
I think they made comments how their adapted books are the ones that win the awards.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't they say that in their little acceptance speech? They did Homer, and that's, you know, if they keep doing that, then they'll do well.
Yeah. Okay. I like their acceptance speech.
Yeah. One guy just said a few things. And then, thank you.
That's right.
Very good. Then they went into sound editing. That's where Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill presented the award. And that was actually very cute.
Oh, yeah. They were pretending to be Dame Judi Dench and Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Yes.
Going back and forth. And they did look very, very similar.
That's what right. I meant to, but
I gotta tell you,
Halle Berry's.
I got to tell you, though, okay. For my money, Seth Rogen is way more Halle Berry than Jonah Hill. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. Something in the hips. I don't know.
Going back and forth, they give out a sound editing award for Bourne Ultimatum, which I'm very pleased because that's definitely my favorite movie of the year. I want to say of all time, I love that movie so much. It was just a perfect film. A perfect conclusion, if it is one, to the trilogy.
Yeah, you heard the latest, huh?
No.
That they're talking a fourth film.
Well, Matt Damon said from the beginning, if...
Well, supposedly it's everything's like being fired up to make that happen.
That's good.
In theory, it's what I read.
He said if Paul Greengrass does it, then he's definitely on board. They're working on a film set in Iraq right now, or maybe they finished that up by now. But I'm all for it. There's other books in the series. No, so not. I don't think Robert Ludlum wrote them, but still.
No, another author took them over, and I hear they weren't as well received as the first three. So they might maybe even try an original screenplay or something.
I have no problems with that at all.
It's a good character. You could do something with that.
No, we've had many debates at Jason Bourne. Like, if you get into a fist fight, or whatever kind of fight you want to call it, but just yourself fighting... What movie star or even real live actor, the real live person, could beat him in a fight?
Oh, we've had those, you know.
And I haven't been able to come up with anything. You know, Batman, if he didn't have his utility belt, he couldn't do it. No boxer, such as Rocky, could do it.
I don't know. John McClane could do it. John McClane could do it, and then he'd give a nice smart-ass remark.
John McClane might give him a run for the money. I don't think he could do it. John McClane doesn't know enough jujitsu and all that fancy stuff.
Yeah, but he didn't like that fancy stuff. Remember that one Japanese lady tried to do jujitsu on him? Yeah, he threw
That's a girl.
Yeah, I know.
That was a girl.
He threw her down an elevator shaft and dropped an SUV on her, for Christ's sake.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
But, what's coming up in the summer makes me want to ask you what I think is the ultimate question. Jason Bourne versus Indiana Jones.
I don't think Indiana Jones stands a chance.
Really?
Not even a little bit.
No?
He's not even in the league.
Oh, come on.
No.
Indiana Jones, get that whip out, throw him up into a ceiling fan, and to Jason Bourne.
No. Not going to happen. Nope.
I don't know. I think we may have to agree to disagree on this.
Okay. That's, we could do that.
That's right.
But what we can't disagree on is the next award, sound mixing, was also Bourne Ultimatum.
I don't know. I think, No Country for Old Men and their soundtrack approach should have garnered at least a little more thought.
the sound.
How much more difficult would it be to mix a movie knowing there's no soundtrack, you know, no music to, you know, no musical crutch to fall back on?
To cover up all the bad stuff?
Exactly. To cover up something where they just got nothing. You know?
Yeah, I know. But
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do with that sound to make it work there, Joe. Let's just have the orchestra really bring it up there to heighten that suspense there. You know?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. I'm just arguing for argument's sake. I love the Bourne Ultimatum as well. I had no problem with that movie. I thought it was perfectly done, too. So
I'm very pleased that it won even another award. So then they started getting into the big, big, big award, Best Actress. That was no surprise. I think we talked about it last week. We thought maybe Julie Christie had an edge, but Marion Cotillard was our second choice.
Yep. Yeah, that was. I thought they might give it to Julie Christie. You know, as one of those, hey, we love you type, you know. But they really acknowledged a really amazing performance with Olivia Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, just literally transformed from one human being to another.
Right.
To where the actress is just gone. There is no actress. Just this person.
And I definitely felt that watching it all the way through. Exactly why makeup, especially in her older years that they put it on there, she looked like that character would.
Even, yeah.
And you felt it was her.
And like I said, you didn't even really like the movie all that much.
I didn't feel it had a really very good story, but I enjoyed the music, and she was the one, I believe, singing. So she's well deserving of that Best Actress award.
Yeah. I don't know if she was singing or not. I don't know if we've ever found out definitively, but even if not, so be it.
Right. She moved her lips just perfectly then.
She lip synced just, yeah, exactly, well enough. But she just, like I said, she became that person. And that's what it's all about.
But on her own webpage, it said that she had 1 month to learn how to sing for another movie.
I just imagine it's probably not her singing, because Edith Piaf, if you see the movie, has such a distinct voice. That's a very distinct singing voice that I think would be hard to mimic in any kind of a real way. So that's my thought on more than likely why. I mean, I could be wrong, and oh my God, if she actually sang it, give her 2 Oscars.
And then our first introduction to the song that ended up winning the category, which was Once. They came out and sang the song.
Yes, the song is Falling Slowly.
Falling Slowly.
Which I liked the song when I heard it. That was the first time I'd ever heard it. It was on that Oscar telecast. And I liked the song. I was like, you know, liked it so much that after the Oscar telecast, when Walt told me that we had it to watch, I was very, very excited.
The movie was good as well.
I love the movie. Love the movie.
And there's perfect. Here you have a musical, nominated for Best Song, and wins.
Yes. And I love, I mean, it's technically a musical, but it's done in such a way that it's not unbelievable. Most musicals, no matter how great they are, you got to suspend disbelief, you know? Okay, they're going to break into song, but the way they did this, they break into a song in a way that's real, that doesn't seem forced in any way, and it's one little story. It's a little story, which is great, you know? I love that. And all of the music. I now own the soundtrack and love it. And yeah, wonderful movie.
Very much so.
And it was very, very, very classy of Jon Stewart. Those who know saw, they let the gentleman actor speak, and then they cut off the young lady, the Czech lady, and Jon Stewart actually brought her out and let her make her acceptance speech after the break, which I thought was the ultimate of class.
Definitely. Definitely.
So yeah, you haven't seen the movie, see it, and then go get the soundtrack immediately.
The movie Once.
Yes, Once. But see it more than once. Huh, Rachel?
But the Czech, I believe she is Lady Markéta Orglová, and that was like a nice, sweet little presentation that she gave when John called her back. Because she didn't get cut off. I think they started playing the music, and then boom, that was the end of it. They didn't even let her go on.
Yeah, it was messed up.
But it was pure class bringing her back out.
Absolutely. And if I do any disrespect to anybody whose names I don't get, or that's just my own ignorance, don't take it hard.
Right.
Those of you that will actually hear it.
Then they had Nicole Kidman come out for the Best Editing, Film Editing Award, which went to Bourne Ultimatum.
No way.
But
really?
when John Stewart introduced her, remember he said the upcoming project, the 2010 Nicole Kidman project?
Untitled Nicole Kidman project.
I love that.
Yeah, that was really good.
What's that?
Well, there's so often when people are working on things, if you look them up in the Internet Movie Database, it will tell you that that's their project, you know, the untitled such and such project.
Right.
So of course.
She's doing a movie?
Yes.
Well, she's Nicole Kidman. She's always doing a movie.
Is it a directing or acting?
I think they meant acting.
Oh, because like you said, untitled movie. Like it sounds like she did it.
Right.
Well, sometimes actually you'll see like an actor, if the director's already attached, you'll see them untitled whatever the actor's name thing, you know. But that's if they have a director attached. I mean, maybe they've got all this going on, but they don't have a name for it yet.
For example, Jackie Chan and Jet Li, they had their movie. They've been working on it for a while now. Forbidden Kingdom is now the name of it, but for the longest time it was the untitled Jackie Chan Jet Li movie.
Right.
Project. So here they have, after that was the foreign language film Oscar. And La Vie en Rose was not even nominated, which is disappointing. I think it would have won it hands down, but it didn't get nominated. It ended up giving it to The Counterfeiters.
Right.
And I went out up to
Mozart of Counterfeiters. No, it's Mozart. What? Oh, no, it was The Counterfeiters. Then the Mozart of Pickpockets was another thing.
Yeah. Right. It was a foreign language film. And this is one of it's very hard to even see these movies in the theater
right.
when they come out, but this time of year is very rare to see them as well.
Yeah.
Nor available on DVD. I looked up all five nominees: Beaufort, Counterfeiters, Katyn, Mongol, and 12. Not available even on Amazon.
Can't even find them now.
No.
Yeah. So I want this, four of the five intrigued me. I'm not going to say which one didn't, but four out of the five I really wanted to see just from what I saw in the clips.
So I wish there was some way. I would pay to download these movies, you know, whether it's with Netflix or Apple or whoever happens to be downloading movies, just so that you can see them before the awards show.
Absolutely.
And I think the movie companies should get together and make that happen. Charge arm and a leg for it even, yeah. But just so it's available for people who want to see it.
Yeah.
So you can sit down and watch the Oscars with a open mind. You've seen all the films and you have your own choices, your own opinions. I realize we're not voting. It's not the American Movie Awards or something, but It helps give you an idea of why these people are winning.
Absolutely. It's always good to expand your horizons in any kind of medium.
Yes.
Love foreign cinema. Should always be looking at other viewpoints. Almost said vantage point.
Well, then they went into cinematography, and this is one category where there will be blood. One over No Country for Old Men, which you haven't seen it yet.
No. I know. It should be beaten.
It was a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
I haven't Very seen good. It.
No, nor should you.
And you won't anytime soon.
Only because of your age.
That's all.
I haven't seen most of these movies.
Right. Well, this year was a very dark movie outlook. I mean, the Best Picture nominees are... Nearly all of them are rated R. I think one is rated PG-13. But after There Will Be Blood, fittingly so, they went to their In Memoriam, the actors who passed away.
Right.
And they even set a date from February 28th to February 29th. Or
30th, I think.
Right, maybe it was even January 30th.
I think it might have been
January 30th. So from February 1st last year to January 30th of this year. And including Heath Ledger and some other people we've talked about. But you were surprised that...
I was surprised that... Well, no, you know what? I wasn't 100% surprised about the omission of Brad Renfro. Because I think he didn't die in a way that might have been acceptable to some folks, you know? You know, Heath Ledger died of an accidental drug overdose with legal prescription drugs where... Brad Renfro died of an illegal drug overdose, and I don't know, I think that kind of thing might be looked down upon, where, you know, no matter what the body of work of the young man was, I mean, first of all, it's a shitty tragedy, you know. He's a talented actor, and he couldn't get out of that whole child star existence that seems to swallow up a lot of people.
So, if we go back over the years, the In Memoriam, part of the Oscar telecast, which is always, it's unfortunate to see it, but it just brings you a warm feeling, over me at least, to see all these people and all the body of work. But they've never had any people who OD'd on illegal drugs?
I don't know. I don't know if they didn't. I mean, we'd have to go back. I've been trying to think of anybody. I don't know if River Phoenix was included. I imagine he was, because his body of work was much more substantial. And so, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Their excuse was that they only had so many people that they could put in, but I don't know. It's just, I didn't buy it.
So then they went into Best Score, or Original Score, which they give to Atonement.
Once again, surprised No Country for Old Men didn't win that one, because what would be more courageous than a score with no music in it whatsoever? Come on, you guys. Have some balls.
Atonement had received many nominees.
I bought the CD. It was epic. It was 72 hours of nothing. It's brave.
Atonement was a film that was nominated for many awards, and I think this was their only win.
Well, congratulations. Beats zero.
After that, they had the Servicemen in Iraq come out and give the award for Best Documentary Short Subject. And I thought that was nice. Fortunately, they didn't, in the documentary feature, there's several movies that have to do with Iraq, but they didn't present those, which was certainly fitting.
Yeah.
But they did do the short subjects. I thought that was a nice touch.
Sure. Got to remember they're still out there.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we want to go on living our lives, there are still people out there in harm's way for us.
Right. Definitely. And then the documentary feature, when they did give that award away, it went to Taxi to the Dark Side, which was not one of the favorites to win. Sicko or even No End in Sight were favored to win those awards. So another surprise there.
I want to see Taxi to the Dark Side. I know Sicko is going to be great, but I've said this on many occasions. I just don't want to see it because I already know that insurance is a scam, and all it's going to do is make me go postal. Mm-hmm. Go blow up some kind of insurance company building or something stupid like that.
And then they gave out Original Screenplay, went to Juno, which was well-deserving. The films that I've seen from that category, very good films, but Juno was above and beyond.
Yeah, that's another on my list to have seen. And Diablo Cody gave a very good acceptance speech. You know, you could tell she was just completely moved and rocked and probably taken by surprise. That's wonderful when moments like that happen.
Yep, definitely, definitely. Next up was Best Actor, which was given by last year's Best Actress. That is Helen Mirren.
That's right.
And that went, not surprisingly at all, but pleased that he won, Daniel Day-Lewis, for There Will Be Blood.
That was pretty cool. She actually knighted him with his own Oscar. That was pretty awesome.
That was nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Very good.
Yes, yet another reason I need to really get off my big old tush and see that movie.
The Queen? Yeah.
Was she won for The Queen last year? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. But that was funny that how she was able to knight him that way.
Yeah, that was great.
Very good. And nice speech. And I tell you, I don't know a lot about Daniel Day-Lewis. Unfortunately, I haven't seen many of his movies. But listening to him talk up there on the stage was nothing at all like his character in the movie. Hence why he is so eligible and deservingly of this award.
He's just this very soft-spoken British man, and he plays these characters that...
loud, over the top. Is fantastic.
Like I said, he was just this amazing part of Gangs of New York, a movie that I didn't necessarily care for too much, but could recognize a really good acting performance.
Yes.
You know.
In Leonardo?
No. Lord.
Leonardo's well-deserving in other things, but not that movie.
Don't get me wrong, I like Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm a fan, but... man, when he puts on one of those accents, whether it's Irish or South African, man, just drives me crazy.
Well, the Blood Diamond was good. You didn't like that one?
No, I liked it too, but his accent drove me crazy.
Oh. I enjoyed the movie and him in it.
I didn't mind him either. Just
Just not the accent?
Just no more accents. I mean, the only accent he did convincingly me was Howard Hughes. You know, that little bit of a Texas twang there. That was fine. You know? That worked.
I think he used that same accent in Titanic.
I think he was just him in Titanic. Oh. You know? And, yeah.
So then they went on to Best Directing.
Yes.
Or Achievement in Directing, I guess they call it. And your boys, the Coen brothers, for No Country for Old Men.
Yes. Long overdue. They've given us some really, really amazing American movies, and they've been overdue for this since Fargo. So
I would agree.
I'm very pleased. Once again, they continued their excellent speech-making abilities. And I can't say enough good about that movie.
Great. And they finished up with the Best Picture, which was No Country for Old Men.
Yes. Like I said, you know, I haven't seen the others, but I can't imagine liking a movie as much as I enjoyed No Country for Old Men. I saw it a second time recently. It gets better after a second screening. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Yes, all hail to the Coens.
The show came in very short at 3 hours and 18 minutes, which is the shortest Oscar ceremony I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Not that I mind the long ones. This was short, but they just kept it moving. Even with the montages, it was great, entertaining. I wasn't bored at all throughout the show.
Yeah, you know what's weird, though, is like the lowest, one of the lowest rated ever.
Right, we've seen the overnights, and it was lowest rated. I can only assume that's because it wasn't a lot of popular movies.
That's what I believe too. The biggest rated Oscar telecasts, you know, were where the biggest, you know, money making movies were nominated.
Lord of the Rings, the Titanic,
Titanic. The one Titanic was in is the highest rated Oscar. Right. You know, so you can't. You know, you don't want to hold it against Jon Stewart or anybody like that, even though some people will. You can't hold it against, because it's just the crop of movies out there weren't as mainstream as everybody would like.
Right, and not to mention the media, because they're so apt to portray the negative, they've been going back and forth. Will there be Oscars? Will there won't? So people aren't even aware that they were probably going on.
It's true, yeah. A lot of people had already written them off.
So. The movies that were nominated, I think, as a whole, were definitely deserved of such.
Absolutely.
And I've seen them and enjoyed the heck out of them.
Hey, what I've seen of them, me too. I haven't seen any of them I didn't really enjoy.
Right. So, it's a good
ceremony.
The
exception of Norbit. Oh, awful.
I saw it.
It was awful, wasn't it?
I don't know.
When did you see Norbit?
Same thing with Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, they show it on cable and such? Well, it was a good Oscar telecast. This will end our Oscar coverage for the year, and we'll start getting ready for next year's.
That's right.
Maybe Speed Racer will get some awards for special editing.
That's right. Or best adapted screenplay.
Best song.
There you go.
That's right.
John Williams get another award for his Indiana Jones soundtrack.
That's right. Get Harrison Ford his long overdue acting best actor not Oscar. I love the guy, don't get me wrong.
Well, until next year for our Oscar coverage, and until next week for Cinemaniacs, what do we have lined up for next week?
Movie reviews, DVD reviews, and
everything in between.
Whatever else I can come up with.
All right, then. With that, have a good night.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Say what you're spacing out. So why don't you shut up, baby? You keep skipping.